Will you now stand for our confession of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed? Let us share in it together in unison. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Our first scripture lesson, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, John 15, 26 to 27, chapter 16, 4b through 15. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Our second scripture lesson, John chapter 15, 26 through 27, chapter 16, 4b through 15. "When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Today is the official birthday of the Church Universal. When the Spirit of Christ, the advocate spoken of by Jesus in John's Gospel, is poured out first upon the disciples gathered in the upper room, and then upon a diverse group of Jewish religious pilgrims. These Jewish pilgrims from all parts of the world had gathered in Jerusalem for the traditional Jewish festival of Pentecost, which celebrates the giving of the Jewish law by Moses, believed to have been given some 7 weeks or some 50 days after the Passover experience in Egypt. And so on this initial day of the church's Pentecost, the Holy Spirit promised by Jesus to his disciples, as we heard in our text from John's Gospel, is conveyed upon Jesus' disciples who had gathered in a place that we refer to today as the upper room. His disciples had gathered there in this upper room as they were directed to do by Jesus himself in one of his parting instructions to them. They're gathered there for a period of prayer and preparation. And it was following this period of prayer and preparation, which included choosing a replacement for Judas, who had hung himself. Following this period of prayer and preparation was when this gift of the Holy Spirit was initially conveyed. And as our text from Acts records, it was conveyed in such a way that these earlier followers of Christ in his resurrection, who now numbered approximately 120 or so, if you read earlier in the book of Acts, you will see that the numbers had begun to grow. But this gift of the Holy Spirit was now conveyed in such a way that these earlier followers of Christ in his resurrection began to speak now in the languages of those Jewish pilgrims who had gathered in Jerusalem for the traditional feast of Pentecost. And the Spirit of Christ now begins to radiate out towards this larger assembly of Jewish pilgrims in such a way that each of them now hears these initial followers of Christ speaking to them in their own language. Our text from Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 says, "Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in our own native language?" So on this initial day of Christian Pentecost, the universal church of Jesus Christ was born, initiated by this gift of the Holy Spirit to these original followers of Christ in his resurrection, and then encompassing these Jewish religious pilgrims who had gathered in Jerusalem for the traditional Jewish feast of Pentecost. And as church tradition has it, on this day of Pentecost, which is usually celebrated some 50 days after Easter, the church universal has a birthday. When the promise that Jesus made to his disciples and that we heard spoken of in John's gospel, when that promise has now been fulfilled. Christ said, beginning in verse 26 of the 15th chapter of John's gospel, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. And now I am going to him who sent me. It's clear that Jesus is preparing his disciples for the time that he is away from them in the flesh, but for the time when they will still have access to him in the Spirit. So this morning we celebrate the gift that Jesus promised us upon his departure. This morning we celebrate the gift of God's Spirit in Christ.
Yes.
That was given on this original day of Christian Pentecost. And we say that Pentecost is in fact the birthday of the Christian church. Because this gift of God's Spirit in Christ was poured out in such a way that all who had seen and believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, meaning all the original disciples of Jesus, minus Judas, of course, but the two Marys and all those other first eyewitnesses of his resurrection, that all these individuals might now be able to share with confidence and with boldness and with power the good news of what they had experienced in Jesus Christ. For the last 7 weeks since Easter, known by the way as the seven Sundays of Easter, we have been focusing more or less on Jesus' appearances to his disciples and to his followers in the aftermath of his resurrection. And in these past 7 weeks, we have also been focusing on the promises Jesus made to his disciples both before and after his time of resurrection. So now on this Christian day of Pentecost, some 50 days later, we see these promises now being fulfilled. When devout Jewish pilgrims gathered in Jerusalem from all known parts of the world, become witnesses to the same power of the resurrected Christ that his early followers witnessed. And on today, there are 2 points that I would lift up for our attention about this gift of the Holy Spirit that establishes the Christian church on this first day of Christian Pentecost. And the very first thing I'd have us to take note of is that God's gift of the Holy Spirit provides unity, even in the midst of our diversity.
Yes.
We can each come from different places, speak different languages, come out of different life circumstances and contexts, and yet through this gift of the Holy Spirit, we are unified as one main group of believers in the name of Jesus Christ. Very often we allow our theological, cultural, and racial, ethnic differences to persuade us that we are somehow separate camps. with different beliefs and come to think that there is very little, in fact, that unites us. And yet, in spite of all of our diversity, the one thing that ought to bring us all together and keep us all on one accord is our common belief in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And in the power of his resurrection.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
For without Jesus Christ, none of us would be anything to speak of.
Mercy.
And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 reminds each of us of this fact when it says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That's the NRSV translation, the New Revised Standard Version translation, but the Living Bible translation says, it says essentially the same thing, but in language that we might hear the same thought, but expressed in a slightly different way. The Living Bible says of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, once you were less than nothing, but now you are God's own. Once you knew very little of God's kindness, but now you know. Now your very lives have been changed by it. We all, and I'm speaking here of the Church Universal, we all, in spite of our diverse theological, cultural, and ethnic differences, were nothing to speak of. Until Christ gave each of us a new sense of stature and a new sense of identity. If we look hard enough in Scripture, we can always find some rationalization to prop ourselves up and to put someone else down. Gentiles, women, slaves, eunuchs, and transgendered people, people who eat pork, people with certain diseases, divorcees, foreigners, women who were widowed or barren and thus considered out of favor with God.
Mm-hmm.
You name a person's social, ethnic, or cultural status in life, and you can usually find some rationalization in Scripture to put this or that other group of people down.
Mm. Yeah.
But then something profound happened in Jesus Christ. Something that I believe once and for all gave all persons who believed in his name a new sense of identity and a new kind of status and stature. Because in Jesus Christ, all of the nobodies of this world, as 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 says, suddenly became a somebody.
Yeah.
And as the Apostle Paul, who himself sometimes struggled with this radical idea, the same Paul who himself was a chief persecutor of those who chose to follow Jesus Christ because Paul thought that they were somehow breaking some version of Jewish law. The same Paul himself wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are now one in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Mm.
So the very first point that we make about this gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised to send his followers is that it would bring people together across all kinds of previous social, cultural, and ethnic barriers. First, these Jewish converts in Jerusalem on the day of Christian Pentecost. And then, as we saw a couple of weeks ago in our lectionary text, the Gentiles. As we saw with Cornelius, you remember Cornelius, the Roman centurion whom Peter brought into the fellowship of the church, and baptized his whole family and entourage.
Yeah.
So we know, therefore, that the Holy Spirit is working among us. Mm-hmm. When we are unified in spite of our differences and our diversity. And we know, therefore, that the Holy Spirit has come upon us when we can overcome our individual and collective differences in order to give thanksgiving for the common ties that bind us together in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we know, therefore, that we have been blessed by the Holy Spirit when we see that our differences are not distractions or causes for division, but are instead looked upon as strengths because of how they somehow serve to magnify and embellish the beauty of God's diversity. The second point I would have us to note about the gift of the Holy Spirit is that it enables us to communicate across a range of differences that might otherwise serve as barriers and boundaries in making connections with each other. And I'd like to first share with you a little story about a district attorney who was prosecuting a case in a small rural county. I know some of you have been watching or listening to some of the current court proceedings involving a person of stature in this country. But in this particular story, the district attorney was prosecuting a case in this small rural county. The defendant in the case was charged with drunk driving and were trying to assault police officer who arrested him. And in order to convict the defendant on the assault of an officer charge, the district attorney had to first prove that the defendant knew that the person he was assaulting was indeed a police officer. And the easiest way to do that, of course, was to show that the police officer was wearing a police uniform. Therefore, the defendant would have had to know that this was a police officer he was assaulting. So the DA asked the police officer on the witness stand, "And how were you attired when you pulled the defendant over?" The officer was said to have looked at the DA blankly. It was clear that he didn't know what the district attorney meant by the word, quote unquote, attire. And in the courtroom, everyone else noticed this lack of understanding, but the DA himself. "Would you repeat the question, please?" the officer said. In a slightly irritated voice, the DA said, "And how were you attired when you pulled the defendant over?" The officer was still puzzled. "Say that again," the officer pleaded. "How were you attired when you pulled the defendant over?" barked the district attorney. And then, as one courtroom observer noticed, you could suddenly see the light bulb come on in the officer's head. And he proudly proclaimed, "I was traveling on standard issue radial tires." So this officer needed an interpreter, even within the English language. And that's the way it is sometimes when we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit to serve as an interpreter of the activity of God within our day-to-day lives. You can't understand what God is doing around you unless you have the Holy Spirit opening your eyes, your ears, your mind.
Yes.
To what God is doing in your midst.
Yes.
Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 says, in noting how these Jews who were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost initially experienced what was taking place in their midst when the Holy Spirit was first given. Acts chapter 2, 5, 11 says, now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, are not all of those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. It's only when the Holy Spirit is working among us that we can overcome these barriers and boundaries that would otherwise divide us. And so the miracle of Pentecost was that these individuals from different parts of the world, from different cultures and backgrounds, and even speaking different languages, were each able to hear through the interpretation of the Holy Spirit about God's mighty deeds of power. Mm-hmm. And if the Holy Spirit is truly present among us, then we will find ways to use our own diverse gifts of experience and context to speak each other's language. One never knows how the Holy Spirit might bless us if we remain truly open to the way God might be attempting to speak to us, the activity and experiences of our everyday lives. But as the story of the district attorney and the police officer in the courtroom suggests, sometimes we do need the help of an interpreter. Even when we think we're speaking each other's language, sometimes we do need the help of an interpreter called the Holy Spirit in order to better understand the mind and the activity of God in our lives. For as Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So no doubt we will need the support and the assistance of the Holy Spirit to better understand and interpret the mind and activity of God in our everyday lives. And I close by sharing the story of Erasmus, the famous Renaissance scholar, who once told a classic story which was designed to emphasize how important it is that we take up the torch of Christ's ministry with great commitment. And in the story, Jesus returns to heaven after his time here on earth. And the angels gather around him to learn what all happened during his days on earth. Jesus tells them of the miracles tells them of his teachings and his death on the cross and of his resurrection. And when he finishes his story, Michael, the archangel, asks Jesus, "But what happens now?" And Jesus answers, "I have left behind 11 faithful disciples and a handful of men and women who have faithfully followed me. They will declare my message and express my love. These faithful people will build my church." "But," responds Michael, "what if these people fail? What then is your other plan?" And Jesus answers, "I have no other plan." Beloved, Jesus is counting on you and me. But the good news is that we are not alone. For the Holy Spirit is here to melt us, to mold us, to fill us, and use us. And so we say on this anniversary of the original gift of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, "Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come.